That's a thing as well.
All right.
Good deal. All right.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. I am Tristan.
And I am Bob.
And these are the new comic listings for Wednesday, August 12th. I had to be staring directly at my watch to remember that.
I could have come up with it because I do still involve dates at my job, but I would have had to think.
Yeah, it was too much thinking for me. You may have noticed, if you have gone to our website, that Diamond has failed us yet again, and we are getting our books a day late. So that is annoying as hell. It is especially annoying, to be honest, because of how well UCS has been doing getting us our books in good condition. And like they look good. They're packed well. I opened my box from UCS and it actually had packing material around, like,
ooh.
When they send you a variant, like you get a 1 in 25, they put it in a Gemini mailer and put that in the box with everything. Diamond won't even bag and board most of those things, and they wind up in a stack with everything else. And so 9 out of 10 times you're 1 in 25. If you've spent all this money to get there, you lose it. You know, you're just like, I just pissed that away.
Gemini mailers keep them real, real safe.
And also, they cost me $1.50. I mean, I know that because Midtown orders a trillion of them, probably costs them 25 cents a piece. So for me, every time I get one of those mailers, it's like I'm subtracting $1.50 from my order because I can reuse it to ship something. So it really is actually kind of amazing.
That's great.
And it was a really good counterpoint because two boxes show up. I got reorders of trades from Diamond, and it was just a stack of very easy to pack trades. And the decision was made, so you have one book that is bigger than all the other books. Now, where would you put that book? Would you put it on top? Would you put it on the bottom? Now,
I mean, isn't the bottom and the top relative?
Well, you know, isn't that so true? But Diamond decided that the bottom was the best place to put it. So
I was going to say they probably put it sideways, diagonally across the bag, and then shoved a bunch of paper on either side of it.
You wish they would use paper. They do not use packing material. And so this was just a box that had, like, every trade had the spine broken where this larger book was touching it, including it was enough pressure to actually break the spine of the Invincible Compendium, which is like 700 pages long.
Jesus. Damn.
Diamond, I wanted to be on your side. Like, I really, like, I was really pushing for you, but either you're, like, trying to like, take the easy way out, and you're like, I don't know, we'll just hire insane people to pack everything, and then just maybe we can just die of natural causes. People will just not want to use us. But it's insane seeing the difference between this new UCS packing, which is like, I can't even explain how excited I was to see that they had not only used packing material, but had shaped the packing material around the odd shaped item. It was like, you never see, Diamond never does that. Never, 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 never. So nope. I'm really hard pressed to not love UCS right now. I even had a couple of like mild damages, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to write those off. These guys are really nice.
And then it's funny, the irony being that, like, it's a week where it's like, you know, DC's actual shipped books, like, may potentially, like, go way down, but they have this, like, shipping under control, like, crazy. And then, like, Marvel's going to be business as usual, and their stuff is still going to come in
garbage condition. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know. So I guess we probably should talk about that before we go into the comic listings. Why don't we just talk about what's going on at DC?
You know more than I do.
The big elephant in the room is that a third of the staff of DC Comics was fired. But that does include the DC Comics app, and it also includes DC Direct, which means that the entire DC Direct toy company is no more. No more of those Direct toys. I mean, it's going to go to somebody else, but it's not going to be under the DC umbrella, and all those people were fired. So, I mean, that company
is gone.
Yeah, it does
suck that they lost their jobs, definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it's a shame. I mean, and it is definitely like that's the end of an era. I mean, they've been around for 22 years, and they've been doing stuff that goes directly to the comic book store market, so directly to us. It's not shit that you find at Walmart. And so DC's new push is to be more friendly to specifically Walmart. Like they're trying to take, they feel like comic shops are such a small market that they need to expand into larger things. It's this fucking graph that's going around that like they've been showing everyone where it's like the big two aren't really the big two, and it shows Marvel and DC, and then it compares them to like Viz Media and like all these other companies that are making books. This is not, it's a different story. It's like the companies that they're comparing them to are like, well, look at Simon and Schuster. And it's like, yeah, of course Simon and Schuster is bigger than fucking Marvel or DC. Of course Scholastic is the big market share. Scholastic embodies everything. It embodies so many things.
And also markets directly to like schools.
And has a like, right. But I mean, if DC can get in on that, if they can take those like, YA titles that they have and get those to Scholastic instead of having them processed through DC. If that was a Scholastic comic with, you know, young Batman, there's the money. There's that extra money they're looking for. And so it is a shame. There's some big shakeup weirdness going on. Some of the firings were really kind of unexpected, and some of them are really exactly what we thought, especially because of the app, because that thing was on its way out as soon as AT&T took hold. They were gonna
which honestly, like, as far as the things that about this that affect me, like the DC app is actually awesome. I'm really sad. Like, I love it. It's fantastic. All these cartoons that like I never had a chance to like watch because I didn't have cable or whatever, like everything that you ever, I mean, all of the Swamp Thing show was awesome. Doom Patrol has been awesome. My wife loves Doom Patrol, and she doesn't even really like comics that much. Like, it had all this cool stuff. Plus, it had a ton of, like, when I was like, oh, I want to see what happened. Like, I was digging through back issues, and I found this old Jimmy Olsen comic, and I was like, what happens in the next one? I never know. I just, like, go to the DC app, and it's, like, there, and I just read it there. And I'm like, oh, that's, or like, why does this comic cost, like, so much more on the back market, like what's in it? And then you look and it's like, oh, it's the first appearance of Brother Power the Geek or whatever, you know, like
that's where the big money comes from, is Brother Power.
I'm just throwing stupid shit out there, but yeah, like I will, when the DC app goes away, I actually kind of hope it doesn't completely go away.
I mean, it's entirely possible that it won't go away at all. I mean, just because they're not specifically creating content for that, their archivist may not have been fired. The archivist may be continuing to scan old books and, you know, having colorists redo them digitally and all that stuff. And all that stuff can be coming back as comic content for their app. And so they'll keep adding comic books to it and, you know, bringing old shows, but they won't be specifically creating shows for it. And a lot of the stuff they were doing for it is nonsense that like YouTube people were doing for free, and then they were hiring someone with, like, they were like, here, have a bunch of money to do this thing that people are doing for free on YouTube. It's like doing what I'm doing. It's like paying somebody a $50,000 a year salary to sit here and talk about comic books when an asshole like me will do it for free, you know?
No, so, that's, and I don't, like, that was not an aspect of the DC website that I ever gave a shit about. But I do like having access to the back stock. Like, basically anything that's ever been collected in trade is on there. And I did like the shows. So, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe at some point that stuff will be on HBO. But anyway, we're here to talk about
But I mean, the other thing that is going on with this big firing that is as important as it is kind of the fact that it reflects the fact that they are paring down the titles that are coming out. They're getting leaner, which I think is very smart
to a certain
extent. But it does sadden me that it means a lot of these kind of, I mean, one of the real troubles that it's going to bring up is that if you just look at the market for DC, you're going to release nothing but the Joker and Batman fighting every issue of every fucking comic for eternity. Yeah. You'll say, what is this Superman character? Fuck him. Get rid of this guy. He's not selling comics. I mean, I sell fucking 7 copies of Superman. You know, yeah. Nobody buys it. It is not like people were excited when it was first like, oh, look, we got Bendis on and it's going to be exciting. And then they were like, it's really just Superman.
Honestly, like it got boring. Like it was 100% on board with specifically Action Comics. I loved the Jimmy Olsen series. That was fantastic. But the thing that it's like the model of the old days where it was like flood the market with like as many titles as possible. Like when you go, like I was telling you not too long ago in the store, like I Googled and I've been trying to collect all of the comics that came out the month I was born, which is in 1974. And there's like 14 Richie Rich comics that came out the month I was born. You know, it's like there's, so the model of throwing all of these titles out there worked when the titles cost 60 cents.
Right.
But it doesn't work when the titles cost $5 and or $4 or whatever it is that they end up costing. So it's like paring the line down actually, I think, makes sense. And it is one of the things that I would say, as anti-Disney owning everything as I kind of feel, like it's one of the things that Marvel does have. Like they'll still continue to be able to put out a shit ton of titles because Disney is an entertainment company. AT&T, at the end of the day, is a communications company.
Yeah,
it's their interest in DC is just owning Batman.
They're not seeing the forest for the trees, which I think is the real problem. And Disney, for all of its horrible, all the terrible things that go with Disney, Disney sees the forest for the trees. Disney's like, oh man, this Moon Girl and Devil Dinosaur comic sells... what I think at one point it was selling like 3,400 copies or something, which is like so far beyond cancellation numbers for a Marvel comic. Yeah. But what is its purpose? Is its purpose to be a comic book? No, it fucking isn't. Its purpose is to be a backpack. And when it's a cartoon, it's going to enthrall the shit out of some like 7-year-old girls who it's going to like hit right down the barrel and they're going to see something they've never seen before. And it's going to become an obsession. And then from then on, they're going to sell, you know, every, you know, stuffed devil dinosaurs at Disney. They're going to sell all this shit because they know that they are making intellectual property. And that is their job, is to take these comic books, maybe break even, which would be nice, and then have a property that you can sell for $1 trillion as something else. And DC seems to just think, why aren't we making more money on comic books? Which bums me out. But I don't know.
Well, DC doesn't have the Disney formula. Like Disney has a formula that works for, and in a certain way, it's like
Warner was doing okay.
Their media. Sorry.
Oh no! Go on.
I was just gonna say that like Disney kind of has like this formula that works for film, formula that works for cartoons, and then they just generate all these story ideas through the comic books and then feed that into their kind of algorithm that produces the things that the Disney audience wants, which is whatever, you know. DC, AT&T doesn't do that. They make phones. England Telephone selling you Batman.
This is reminding me of the Revlon era of Marvel, you know, like that.
I'm feeling a lot of talk about today in the chatter that I've seen just online of like kind of throwing back to the 95 era of Marvel when like it was, and I assume that's what you're talking about.
Yeah. Revlon owned them. They were owned by a makeup company.
Yeah, when
they were
a cash cow. And they were just the product that someone bought in order to generate a certain amount of revenue and then dump for someone else to buy. Right. And no one gave a shit. There's a certain amount of freedom and craziness that goes along with that. But there's also
terrible covers. That was the era of the worst covers. Every single character was in a white background, just one pose of one character. And it was like that Revlon era of superhero cover sucked so bad.
And then meanwhile, you have, I'm holding up for Tristan to see this chromium cover from DC this week.
I don't hate it. Yeah. I mean,
no, I don't hate it either. I actually kind of like it.
I had been so, and that's the difference, is when you're making a, when a banker, when like some dude in some fucking bean counter is like, I bet a chromium version of this would sell better than a whatever. And it's just a trick. But if an artist is like, hey, I have this idea for, you know, I'm incorporating this from the beginning, that cover's beautiful. The other covers are beautiful. I mean, and EXO Manowar, number one, that cover is beautiful. Like, those are, like, when they did that with that cover, it was incorporated and it was a good idea, you know?
Yeah.
And for all of the stupid things that went with all the cover enhancements, there's some of my favorite things. The Wolverine cover with the claws that are enhanced. The Lobo cover where he's making fun of the cover enhancement by having a cover enhancement. And he's like, hey, I got your cover enhancement right here. And he's pointing at his codpiece.
The first Azrael Batman one, Chromium, with the Joe Quesada cover of the new metal Batman suit. And it was like, it worked for effect. Also, my favorite is one of the first, which is that Silver Surfer one. Oh, which isn't really a chromium cover, but with the foil,
it's
foil
an enhancement. yeah,
that was really good.
Kind of the best. Yeah,
that was a big deal.
Yeah, I mean, I have copies of that, and I still, like, every time I'm flipping through stuff in the basement or whatever, and I come across that one, I'm like, oh, man, that is pretty.
I think that's the first one.
Is it really?
I think it's the first time. It certainly is the first time I remember a comic having a chromium cover, like a foil enhanced cover.
Yeah.
But maybe it isn't the first one, but, you know, I think it might be.
I know that Valiant was definitely there.
They were chromium to the nines. Like, they had like Ninjak with like chromium layered.
No, they were the guiltiest.
My favorite gimmick was the Superman with the chloroform cover. Do you remember that one?
What?
There's an issue of Superman, Adventures of Superman. I don't know whatever title it is.
And oh, the had, color forms. Yes. Yeah, oh, my God. I thought you said chloroform.
It came with chloroform. It made you pass out when you opened it. And then you swore it was the best comic you ever read.
That is a great comic. Yeah. No, I totally remember that. That you could, like, you could basically build your own Superman cover.
Yeah. And so you just. I love anything that you have to ruin in order to utilize.
Yeah, that is. Mike Allred was always really good about that, about like putting stuff in all those AAA comics back in the day were like, make sure you cut up this mask that's in the back page so that you have to buy another copy.
Can I tell you the best story ever? It's going to take a little bit of time.
Hey,
but maybe
whatever,
man.
We didn't read anything at all this week, so we're just going to list the titles pretty much. So please.
Nice. Well, okay. So I used to sometimes not always pay my taxes on time. And one time I didn't for like 3 years. And then let's say 10 years passed and I got a letter from the IRS and it said, you owe fucking $8,000 to us or something. And to my, at that time, I was like, I mean, not that it wouldn't be now, but like, it was like, holy shit, I do not have anywhere near this much money. But it wasn't that I didn't pay my taxes. It was that I didn't file my taxes. And so I had to find my fucking old W-2s in order to file my taxes. Meanwhile, they garnished my wages, so I had to pay them. So I paid all of the $7,000 out of pocket, and it sucked. It took me like a fucking year and a half, and I could not find my W-2s anywhere. Looked, could not find them. And I was like, I know I did not throw them away. Like, they're W-2s. You don't throw them away. But I couldn't find them. And then one day, I was at the place where I store, like the when I called in from the woods, the place where I have my comics stored, which is just like, I didn't have room that was not moldy, so I put them all there. Going through all this shit, and I found my AAA Pop Comics membership kit that I actually cut the coupon out of the comic in order to get. And you got like a stationery pad and a membership card and like some different shit, but it was this cool thing. I loved the AAA Pop Comics until they stopped being printed on newsprint, and then I didn't like them. But it was literally an aesthetic thing. I was just like, the experience is ruined. But however, anyway, I pulled this thing out and I was like, oh, this is cool. And I go to pull the shit out. What's inside the fucking thing? Which is literally like a half envelope sized envelope. But my fucking W-2s that I had been missing forever I think at the moment, like, I screamed out loud that I finally found these things after a year. I gave them to the IRS, and I got all of that money back that I paid in.
Oh, man.
All, like, $7,000 or whatever it was. Like, I got it back. Like, they were like, okay, you paid. Here's your refund. And I was, but I hid them in a AAA Pop Comics, the dumbest possible place that anyone could put a W-2. That said, actually pretty good hiding place.
Yeah. No.
You know, it took me a year and a half to find
you them. Clearly outwitted yourself, at least.
I outwitted myself, which was counterintuitive. but it did involve cutting something out of a AAA Pop Comics.
Yeah, I think so. I have the, like, the super expensive, because I was such a super fan, I got the, like, $40-$50 hardcover edition of the Atomics. So nice. I have that on my shelf, and I realized after, I don't know, how long has it been? 20 years?
Oh, man.
Forever?
Yeah, pretty close.
And then
yeah,
I'm like,
around.
I flip to the back of it, and it's like, and make sure that you send in for your signed sketch that Mike Allred provides with all of these. And I was like, expires 1994.
Oh, no.
Son of a bitch. Yeah. Or whatever it was.
I would have sent it in anyway. I bet he would have honored it.
I bet he would. Honestly, you know, it's still there. I might,
yeah.
You know what? I'm going to
do it.
I'm totally going to
do it.
You
should do it.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
That would be amazing. Anyway, let's get to talking about the nonsense that we got to talk about. Again, everything's late with the exception of DC. So
it'll be there tomorrow.
Exactly. It's going to be in on Wednesday. So we're doing this Tuesday night. But I will get them in eventually, and I'll put them up on the website. Chad made a ridiculous graphic for us, which was very nice. And so,
I haven't seen it.
It's the Simpsons technical difficulties drunken cameraman.
Nice.
Very nice. All right. I'm going to talk about a couple of things that I did not get, which is going to be par for the course because we've been cutting our orders since the pandemic. But I wanted to mention this because it's something that I really should have been getting. Heavy Metal Fishkill number 3 is out. That book is so up my alley, and I'm really mad that I didn't catch on to it. But again, it was going on during the end of the world, so sorry about that. So if you want to get it somewhere else, that's a great book. And I'm really good at being capitalist.
Hey.
Go buy things everywhere else. Anyway, there's some free Comic Book Day stuff out. Little Lulu book that I know a few people will be excited about.
People love that John Stanley.
Yeah. There's a G.I. Joe Origin of Snake Eyes issue out this week. Other big free Comic Book Day thing that's out this week is the new Hillbilly, the Lizard of Rusty Cove or Rusty Creek Cave. I'm not going to be able to say that out loud. Lizard of Rusty Creek Cave, you son of a bitch. Thank you. I got it. What a jerk.
Nice.
That is not a title that was meant for someone to say out loud. Usagi Yojimbo Color Classics number 6. Another free Comic Book Day thing, which is the Critical Role Vox Machina Origins and a preview of the new Neil Gaiman Norse mythology book.
Ooh.
Yeah, that should be. I'm really looking forward to that. I loved the book. I thought it was really fun. The one that I'm kind of excited about, this is one that could go either way. I'm excited to try it out. There's a book called Big Girls from Image Comics coming out tomorrow, and it is self-described as John Wick and Godzilla by way of HBO's Girls. Essentially,
okay.
We're talking about a giant Lena Dunham fighting monsters. So, you know.
Sounds good.
Essentially, you have a giant Lena Dunham fighting giant kaiju like it's Pacific Rim. Cool. I'm into it. Billionaire Island number 4 comes out tomorrow.
You got the number 2 finally in
yes,
today.
Yes, number 2 is back in.
At some point, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that was today.
I am very excited about that.
I'll talk about
Billionaire Island next week.
Join the Future number 4 is out. Vampirella number 12. Excellence number 9. Alienated number 5. Sonic the Hedgehog number 30. Empire, Captain America number 2, and Revenge of Cosmic Ghost Rider comes back. That's cool. Animosity number 28. That book is still going, as depressing as it is. But I still have some diehard animal rights people who are like, I will continue to read this book even though it makes me sad. Adventure Man number 3 is out tomorrow. That book is,
you know, I
really
I sorry to interject,
no,
but
please,
I read
do.
Adventure Man 1 and 2 while I was on vacation, and fantastic.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Bat Fraction and the Dodsons.
Yeah,
you know, it's great, but really, really good. I much, very, very much enjoyed it, because you know, Adventure Man is not a man, right?
I did not know that.
Adventure Man is, it's a woman that is just called Adventure Man.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. It's like basically like a Doc Savage kind of thing where you know, he's dead and then someone's picking up the mantle. So it's still called Adventure Man,
nice.
But it's not, it's just the inheritor of the Adventure Man legacy is not a man.
That's awesome. Yeah, I
yeah, it's really good.
I gave
it's very
Now
you go ahead.
I gave a cursory glance to issue 1 and I was like, this looks really fun. It looks like the most Indiana Jones looking thing I've seen in a really long time. Like, it felt the truest to the legacy of that 80s aesthetic of drawing from the 30s adventure styles of things, like, you know.
It's a little bit like that. Yeah. It has, it's modern. But it has kind of, so it has kind of like a Harry Potter vibe,
really?
Of like used bookstores that have magical tomes and kind of like, you know, this secret history kind of thing. But it is set in a modern setting. But it is also very much drawing on a 1930s aesthetic. And I'm only just like, I read the first 2 issues, and there's like these cool ancillary characters that are kind of like still playing into it. There's like, I don't know, it's cool.
And the collection is coming out very shortly. Like,
oh wow,
I've already ordered it, so it's like 2 months out, maybe less. So
damn.
So there's that. Hawkeye cool. Freefall is finally back, I guess. So that
wow.
one's been a long time coming. That's number 5. Empire Avengers number 2. Batman and the Outsiders number 15. Ghost Spider number 9 is the return of Gwenom, which was a much anticipated character return, apparently. I don't know why. And
yeah,
Hawkman number 26. Please, you read Hawkman.
I read Hawkman number 26, and it's actually pretty fucking good. Like, honestly, like, it has this really cool, the thing that drew me into it was a variant cover by Sebastian Fiumara, who drew the Abe Sapien series that I don't want to talk about because the writer is a fucking shithead. But that said, this is basically just like a weird Hawkman story with Adam Strange and the Atom. But there's a cool last page little kind of thing that happens with characters that I give a shit about, and that Hawkman has some connection to,
nice.
And perhaps might be of interest to some people.
Yeah, some people.
Some
so Green Lantern season 2 number 6 is
Love
out.
It.
Loved it. Awesome.
Love it. It's good.
And one of my favorite books that is coming out, Empire X-Men, the number 3 is out, and we get even more crazy alien plant men fighting zombie mutants. I mean, come on, guys. What more do you want out of comics? Batman's Grave number 9 is out. Justice League Odyssey number 23 is out. Empire number 5 is out. Oh, yes. Odyssey.
I have to just like throw in there that
yeah,
I love
please.
Justice League Odyssey, even though there's only, like, I think, one more issue after this.
Yeah.
But it's really good. And if you, there will be a trade, just check it out, man. It,
yep.
It's really so much better than it has any hope. I don't, what's the right thing I'm trying to say? It's better than it deserves, than
yeah.
a Justice League spinoff.
Yeah. Oh,
deserves
absolutely.
To be.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And heartily recommend it to fans of Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. I was so impressed with this book, and I'm going to pick it up and trade because
I
read the ending of, or I read a little chunk of the Cyborg storyline that was going on around number 19, I think. And I loved it. I just thought it was amazing. So I'm
It's like the strongest book featuring like the characters that are in it, which is like Cyborg and Jessica Cruz, who's awesome. Never been written better. I don't think. Maybe she has, I don't know. But like just cool, and it also has just like fun extra characters like Dexstar and Orion and the Lord of Time. Cool shit.
And not to belabor this previous point, but when you have somebody like this who's writing something so clever and so just so different, using the right characters for the right thing, that's how you got the Guardians of the Galaxy movie that cemented the idea that Marvel could do no wrong. And that's what you're going to miss when you cancel a series like this, because you're like, well, it's only breaking even. We could be spending our resources better. This is your movie. Don't make another fucking Batman versus who gives a shit. No one wants it. Make this movie. You put fucking Dexstar in a movie, people are going to lose their shit. I'm going to go see the fucking Dexstar movie. I mean, I've said this forever, but the money is Atrocitus and Dexstar as a Red Lantern fucking buddy cop film. And
that said, the other thing I would pitch is Dexstar as he appeared in the Jimmy Olsen comic. Like, although it's kind of hard to do that if you don't know who Dexstar is already. And maybe some of that is like really just like made for comics and not made for films, but but Dexstar is great, and doing like a space pirates, like an Omega Men take on the Justice League, is like just really like, it's a cool story. And I think that that is where I don't want to go too far down the road, but that is where like a movie like Justice League failed, because it's like, we're gonna spend all this time making you pretend to give a shit about like the origin of this mainstream thing, where in reality all you want is just like balls to the walls, like fucking like crazy stuff happening, like, you
nobody's
know,
no,
build
I mean,
on something.
What those movies are for Marvel are the Fantastic Four movies, I think. I mean, I know I'll get a lot of shit from people who love these movies, and they, you know, they work for a certain type of person, and some people love them. But to me, and also because I am kind of probably that same kind of person for Marvel, when I saw the Fantastic Four movies, if that was the best that Marvel came out with, I would probably still be defending them, because I enjoyed them when I saw them. I saw the fucking Thing walking around looking like the Thing, and I went, cool, I'm excited to see this. Fuck it, you know, whatever. And I feel like that's kind of the way that Justice League is. But the difference between those movies and the idea of like Jessica Cruz and Dexstar in a Green Lantern movie as opposed to a Hal Jordan movie, you can just do so much cool shit if you don't try to stick very rigidly to this 90s idea of making another, like, another movie that feels like you're making The Shadow again. You
right.
know?
Well, I think it's not even a 1990s. I think it's like a 1960s. It's like those movies are culturally like the concept of Batman, the Joker, Superman, whatever. Like, the Marvel wasn't quite the same because a lot of that stuff hadn't really received a lot of mainstream exposure. But like, everybody knows Batman. It's like the most recognized, like Mickey Mouse. It's just like one of those things that everyone
knows.
It's
ubiquitous.
And people want, I believe, maybe I'm wrong, but like, it is my belief that people want interesting new stories, like that, like when I go to the movies, I want something that I haven't seen before that feels unfamiliar. I'm not opposed to a superhero film, but I want a superhero film that like does something different. And I guess that's what I'm getting from Justice League Odyssey that like I'm not getting from
regular Justice League,
whatever. Regular, but, I mean, that said, regular Justice League is actually pretty good right now, but like,
sure,
only the last couple issues. Like, for the most part, it's just like this, like, Superman punches a planet. Like, who gives a shit? You know? It's great. We understand that Superman can fly around the planet, make time go backwards, and bring Lois Lane back to life. We've seen it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that is not... I feel like when DC basically had... Actually, it wasn't even DC. I think it was literally just an internet rumor went around. Someone was like, hey, you know what's going to happen? There's a Batman Beyond movie, and it's going to have Michael Keaton in it. And Michael Keaton was like, nobody's fucking told me this. And everybody at DC was like, we don't have anything on the docket for this. And then they're like, what's the next thing that we have? And they're like, Flash, rewrite it so that we can have fucking Batman Beyond with Michael Keaton. And so they literally are just like scrambling to come up with this thing. That's
what happened?
I believe that is the deal.
I
don't know the behind the scenes on it, but I mean, that rumor was months and months old prior to any announcements for Flash. And I think that they're just like, that is what people want. People want Batman Beyond because it's something that is, it's just something that they haven't seen on film before. It's something, it would be a new concept. And the idea of bringing Michael Keaton in is different and interesting. And like, I think all of that stuff would be amazing.
It's unexpected. Like,
right.
The thing that grabs people about that is that, like, Michael Keaton back as Batman is unexpected. It's like, that's so, but the problem may be, you know, it depends on who does the film. They could do something really awesome with it. But the problem with it is that, like, if that's your first Flash movie, is like him traveling through time to hang out with Batman, like, make sure you get somebody good, because like, that's a hard sell to like an audience that doesn't know the Flash.
Yeah, that is going to be weird. I don't know. I have no idea what they're going to do.
I think you can hang that on Michael Keaton as Batman.
I think so too. And I think, I think what I'm worried about is the idea that that is what they're doing, is that they're like, what is the most popular thing? And they're like, well, Flashpoint is what fans talk about. Okay, so we're going to make a Flashpoint movie. Oh, somebody mentioned this thing about Batman Beyond that they really like it. Let's throw that in there. And then, people are really into Pokemon. What if they were all Pokemon? And, you know, like, I worry that it's so much like corporate think that it's like, what are people into these days? Well, I heard that kids like Charleston Chew. Excellent. So Batman's going to be eating a Charleston Chew in every scene.
It's true. Like, the DC stuff feels more market tested than the Marvel stuff, which is like, we're market testing it by like putting out comic books and seeing what people fucking interested in, or whatever,
and then they hang their whole
and then they have their formula, you know, like they have a formula.
It's basically, here I have this very competent director that I love and I think can do anything. Yes. Here you go, James Gunn. We know that you're competent. You know, what you're saying is insane, but you're James Gunn, and Disney knows to trust artists. And I think that is of all of the evil they do, their one redeeming quality is that they trust artists.
I would agree. That said, Guardians of the Galaxy Part 2 is one of the worst films I've ever seen.
Agree to disagree, but I do not like.
I love the first
anywhere
one
near as
love
much as
the
first
one.
One.
Don't like the second one. Anyway, whatever.
Okay, so Darth Vader number 4 is out. Captain Marvel number 19 is out. Oblivion Song number 26, and Batman Dark Knight's Death Metal number 3 is out.
This is the only comic I've actually read of all the comics.
How silly was it?
On a scale of 1 to 10, it's like definitely a solid 8, maybe like edging into 9. It's crazy. You've got your Robin King. It's the first, you know, you bought that issue that came out last week because it was the first appearance of Robin King, but like, this one actually gives you like the personality of Robin King, which is kind of, I mean, silly and weird and fun. I love Dark Knight's Metal because it is silly and weird and fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's dumb as hell. But it's
you did
dumb
a full
as hell
on,
in a really smart way.
You did a full on Max Headroom in the Zoom. You literally hung up and went
nice. That's cool. love
that
it.
Was beautiful.
Actually, I would pitch myself as an actor for a Max Headroom.
You would not be the worst choice for a Max Headroom reboot. You've got the skull shape for a Max Headroom. You and he are very similar. That plastic hair and you'd be all set.
I could do it.
That said, guys, Max Headroom TV show was brilliant.
You know what's even cooler about Max Headroom is the hack. Did you ever see the fucking Max Headroom hack in Chicago?
No.
Google that shit when we're off this thing.
Okay.
There was a guy, I may say a guy, someone.
There was a person.
A person hijacked a broadcast signal in Chicago as Max Headroom. It's badass.
Holy fuck. I am just completely unaware of that.
Oh, it is fucking awesome, dude. It is awesome.
Okay, I will definitely be checking that out.
It's legendary. There's people who are like, I still remember the Max Headroom hack.
And it's so perfect because it was, it was.
I
such
talked
a,
to one of those people when I lived in Chicago.
Oh my God.
That's how I learned about
That's really funny.
It's awesome. I think there's a Wikipedia page for it, or like a wiki entry for it under Max Headroom.
It deserves it.
It's cool.
Okay. So Marauders number 11 is out, and this is the funeral for Kitty Pryde. So this is a weird one because Kitty Pryde is the only X-Man that can't come back from the dead for some reason because she can't go through the fucking gates at Krakoa. So
she's immaterial.
And that is, I guess, the reason. But she is, so we don't
she's
know.
She's learned to value things immaterial.
We don't know if she's going to come back, but obviously she is because she's a super important character.
I should have said she places no value on things material.
Perfect.
Sorry, I fucked up the quote. I don't even know what it's from.
X-Force number 11 is out. Superman number 24. Immortal Hulk number 26 is I'm very excited for this book. Immortal Hulk 36 is a leader story, which I think is a long time coming. I'm really curious to see him take on such an 80s character. We've seen him do so much deep dive character stuff with the Hulk and all of the characters that are coming out. And so this one I'm pretty stoked to see what happens.
I have felt like the leader storyline thus far has been kind of like sort of treading water, so I'm looking forward to them doing something cool with it so that they can get back to the main creative team doing the crazy shit with the Hulk that they've been doing. That said, it's interesting. It's not quite as, to me, not quite as awesome as some of the Hulk issues have been.
And this is a huge spoiler for if you haven't read Empire yet, but it was last week and guys, get on it.
Yeah.
So if you want to skip over
this, a week out, we can spoil.
Skip 30 seconds ahead. But Jennifer Walters is dead. So she is super fucking dead. And she had a bunch of plants living in her brains and they had hollowed her out and were walking her around like a puppet. So
I didn't know that.
But the thing is, she is not a big surprise as a death because we literally have a solicit for Immortal She-Hulk coming out soon.
Right. Yeah. Well, which is going to have a She-Hulk series coming out on Disney Plus. Yeah.
So they basically have to kill her before she can come back as the immortal whatever. So that has happened and that is what we're looking forward to. So I just thought I'd mention that because it is such a big deal with this character. And so now the She-Hulk and Hulk series are going to come together.
Is it the same writer?
I believe at least the first, it looked like it was
Ewing.
Wasn't Al Ewing. It was somebody interesting though. It was somebody that I was like, this could go either way. This could be like the best thing ever, or it could just be really like wallpaper.
I'll Google it.
So I'm interested to see it. The big book this week that I'm going to have to put limits on the website is Venom number 27. Venom number 27 is the first appearance of the Codex. So the Codex turns out to be an actual person instead of just like a sigil. And he is revealed in this issue. So get your speculation going. Order 4,000 copies. but not for me because I'm going to limit it to one copy per person because we only got enough for what we normally carry. We're not ordering crazy numbers for speculator issues. Sorry, guys. So Wonder Woman 760 is out. Amazing Spider-Man 46 is the continuation of what is probably my favorite Spider-Man story in a couple years. The Sin Eater return. Been really digging that. Flash number 759 is out. And Detective Comics 1025 is the continuation of the Joker War. And that is the highest seller of the week.
Nice. I'm going to interrupt and say that Immortal She-Hulk is actually written by Al Ewing. I Googled it.
Oh, is it really? I thought it was a different team. I wonder if it's going to be...
It's the same writer. It's a different artist. Okay.
Interesting. Awesome. So that means it is going to be fucking brilliant, and I can't wait.
Yeah, definitely. Al Ewing is one of the best going.
Jesus.
For sure.
He's another one of those... It feels like a lot of these writers like don't have a very big warm-up. Like, when Donny Cates hit, it wasn't like, here's some Donny Cates stuff, whatever. You know, all of his, like, this is interesting stuff was at Heavy Metal. And then, like, as soon as he hit Marvel, it was like, holy shit, what is this?
Yeah, this guy has a bunch of cool ideas that we've never heard before, read before.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's doing cool shit with Venom and Guardians of the Galaxy or whatever.
Yeah, taking a legit weirdo and like giving him the keys is a great idea because, man, yep. Donny Cates, that first Cosmic Ghost Rider arc was just such gold.
Someone, you read it and you were like, you got the goods, kid.
Yeah. And he can write a great story that isn't reliant on being totally wacky. So I love that about him too, that he's got both sides. He's kind of a Remender in a lot of ways. He's like that kind of,
I
like
can see that.
That punk rock aesthetic coming in and just being like, this is crazy bombastic crap, but also I know how to write, which I think is fun.
Yeah. But it's also that cool thing where it's like, oh man, this cool punk rock guy is like employed by the largest entertainment company in the world, but for some reason, like, they are just like, yeah, here's the keys, you know, like, that's and pretty that's, cool. I love it.
I mean, that's what Remender,
I don't even like,
would yell
Venom
at everyone
as a
about.
Character, and I would 100% read that comic. Like, I enjoy it when it comes out. It's good.
He has reinvigorated that character beyond, I mean, where everyone thought so small with Venom. Venom was this like, here you go. He's like, it's a bunch of goo that sticks to a bodybuilder and he hates Spider-Man. And you're like,
it came
okay.
from the Secret War.
Right, yeah, but it's angry goo. Got it, whatever. And he just creates this gigantic, massive, massive mythology around it that is so compelling that people actually come back to this character that has kind of stagnated forever. I mean, and again, the last time it didn't stagnate was when Remender was on it and he made Flash Thompson Venom. And that was also an amazing storyline. And I also, and I love the fact that he threw to that as well when he was like, listen, I've got this idea and I want to do this Venom thing. But then he showed Flash Thompson Venom for like a few panels in one of his books and was just like, wow, Flash Thompson Venom is very cool, or something that was just sort of like a compliment to Rick Remender's run, which I love it when people do that kind of shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool when someone like takes a grand view of a publishing history, someone like maybe a Grant Morrison or obviously like these other guys that you're talking about, like, and like, it's like, okay, like there's this tapestry, like let's incorporate all of it. Like you can, as long as you kind of like are like somewhat loose about it, you know, like you can't be Roy Thomas, you know, like, but like you can totally be like, let's play with this. Like, let's make it let's see it as a bigger thing. And for sure.
Yeah. The Grant Morrisons, the Jonathan Hickmans, those kind of people that just, there's a certain type that is very,
I mean,
good
even
at that
Jeff
kind of stuff.
Johns, I would put in that category.
Yeah, no, Jeff Johns is
know,
like
even
the,
though he
almost
did
the
weird
prototype
colored lantern shit that I didn't love.
God, I hated
just like,
that.
Here's, You know what's funny is I found an old comic book that had colored lanterns in it from way before the colored lanterns appeared.
Oh, that's funny. I mean,
yeah, it's called The Silver Age. It was like a event they did.
I remember that.
The Silver Age, Mark Waid did it. And it was in the very last one, they take all, I think it's like forms of kryptonite, but I'm not 100% sure. But either way, there's like a thing where like everybody has a different colored ring and they use all of the energies together. And it's like literally like all of the colored lantern core, but it's from way before that.
That's really funny. Huh. Yeah. Crazy.
Anyway.
Kids. Anyway,
reading comics.
Reading comics. My God. Anyway, that's what we got for this week. I think we've discussed all the pertinent information. Again,
you didn't talk about Wonder Woman, which was really good.
Oh, okay. Well, Wonder Woman's out,
and it's really good. Yes, I missed the last issue, but the new creative team is really badass, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm sorry to everybody that wants to get on this. I did have an accidental speculator thing with this one because there is a new character introduced in this. Didn't put a one per person limit on it, and somebody did clean me out of the last few issues that I had online. Sorry, guys. I will fix that next time. Unfortunately, the website doesn't allow me to force it. I have to just put it in the title and be like, I'm going to refund those issues and not send them, you know, and sound like a total dickhead, but whatever. I guess it's my job to sound like a total dickhead sometimes. I'm doing it for the greater good. I'm trying to get these books to the people that want them.
I'm serving the prime directive.
Yeah. It's such an important role I provide for the world. Anyway. All right. I'm going to go turn on a fan because it is hot as balls in
here. Yeah, no. I've had one going the whole time. Hopefully it hasn't been silent or sort of non-silently buzzing in the background of all of my audio.
I have to throw a noise filter on every Zoom call, so it'll probably cut it anyway.
Yeah, I think it's pretty quiet anyway. It's pretty far away.
Word. All right. Have a good evening, everyone, and we will see you next week.
Next week. Bye.
Bye. See you, Bob.
Have a good day. You too.
I'm... Don't need no tea. Don't need no chicory.